You're listening to Business This Week on Radio Zolin, KROJ 101.5 FM.
All my friends know the low rider. The low rider is a little higher.
Government. It's Business This Week with Saul Mejia. Now from the studios at Zolin Radio, KROJ 101.5. Here's your host, Saul Mejia.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome back to your show, Business This Week. My guest today is the drummer for War the Band. War is an American funk rock band from Long Beach, California, known for several hits including Spill the Wine, The World is a Ghetto, The Cisco Kid, Why Can We Be Friends, Low Rider, and Summer. This band was formed in 1969 and is a musical crossover band that fuses elements such as rock, funk, jazz, Latin, rhythm, blues, and reggae. So they play a little bit of everything. The album The World is the Ghetto was the Billboard's best-selling album in 1973. The band transcended racial cultural barriers with a multi-ethnicity lineup, and ever since then they've been conquering hearts and souls, and they've been making people happy. I had the honor to attend a couple of their concerts, and it's a complete show. But even greater, I had the honor to meet my guest today about 10 years ago at the Pacoima Christmas Parade while we were having tacos. We both got invited as VIPs to a breakfast they do in the morning, and we were trying the tacos, and we both thought they were great. And that's how we actually ended up meeting each other. And at the time, honestly, I didn't know he was such an incredible character. And after I talked to him, a couple of people reached out to me and they say, "Hey, do you know who you were just talking to?" And I say, "Yeah, who's that?" He's like, that's Sal Rodriguez. That's the drummer for War. And I was like, "Really? Yeah." So I began to do my homework and research. And yeah, at the end, I realized that I was talking to such an amazing celebrity. But beyond that celebrity, beyond such a talented singer and drummer, Saul Rodriguez is an amazing human being. He's one of my role models. He's one of my heroes. He's one of the people that I look up to for his humbleness. And today you're going to be able to hear some of that. I'm positive because he always got something positive or something nice to say about other people. So without further ado, it's my honor, it's my pleasure to welcome Saul Rodriguez, the drummer for War of the Band, to our show, Business This Week. Welcome, and please say hello to the San Fernando Valley.
Hello, my name is Saul Rodriguez. I want to send a shout out to all my people in the San Fernando Valley.
All right, Mr. Rodriguez, tell us, why did you decide to start a career in the music industry?
Yes, well, maybe follow a career in the music industry is it's actually having a passion for music. as you start off, you know, playing an instrument or talent, whether it's acting, any kind of the entertainment field. Some musicians, as I heard, that they get into it for a different reason. Some get into it because of the girls. Some get into it because of the money. Some get into it because all of the above, you know. But as we all know, in this music business, when you say music business, we forget that it's also a business, and we have to learn how to treat it as a business, you know. So I got into it because I wasn't thinking of becoming rich or becoming famous or becoming, you know, or with trying to pick up on girls. And, you know, when I started when I was 11 years old, you know, so young, but 11, yeah. I actually started getting paid when I was 11. So I started a little bit earlier than that. But, you know, when you're that young, you don't really think of chicks, girlfriends, and all that stuff, you know. You just want, you know, you want to be like your heroes. You want to be like, you know, back then it was still, Jimi Hendrix was still alive, you know what I mean? All these groups, Keith Moon from the Who, drummers, and John Bonham from Led Zeppelin, all these drum rock and roll heroes that were still around, you know, back then. But, yeah, I got in there because I just loved it. And nobody told me to practice. It was just like, you know, you hear the Beatles album records and stuff like that. And I remember just going to Tijuana when we were kids, you know, that's where I'm from. And we would go visit my abuelita back in Tijuana. She lived by the radio station up on the, I forgot what channel it says. You'll see as you're coming in Tijuana, there's a big antenna. And she lived right below that. So, but I was listening in my transistor radio, you know, with the little 9-volt batteries. And I was listening to all this music, Roy Orbison, you know, Pretty Woman, all that stuff, man. You know, the Beatles, and when the Beatles were like just exploding, you know. And I said, wow, that'd be so cool to be in a band, you know. But I did that because I was too young to even think about, you know, money or like girlfriends or anything like that. So the passion was the passion for the art, for the music itself, you know, and how it made me feel when I would just start attempting to practice this kind of stuff. We didn't have MP3 players. We didn't have computers. So you had to buy the 45, which is like a little vinyl, two song vinyl. You know, I think we bought them for like 99 cents or whatever back then. But you know, you had to play the first side, and then if you wanted to play the song again, you had to get off the drums. I had to get off the drums and put that thing back again, because we didn't have that fancy one with the automatic, you know, play again. But yeah, and it was just it, man. I had that passion to play music and to entertain. I wanted to be an entertainer, you know, with passion of just the art form itself, just to be there and being part of creating that euphoria that you get when you're playing music and people are getting like excited that you're making them happy for that little small period of time, you know. But little did I know, you know, I'll be, you know, still playing drums. But that's how I got started, with the passion, you know. Coming back to the question, how I got started was with the passion for the music, you know. And I still have the passion for music. You can't leave it. You can't never leave it. So you lose your first passion, man. You know, you lose track. You lose focus of the main reason you got into this. And if you think you're getting into it to be rich, yeah, there's guys out there that are rich and making, they're doing the music and writing hit records and stuff like that. But, you know, you just got to learn how to manage your money too, as we talked about the business. So, but like I said, back to the question number one, why I got into it was for the love of the music, for the passion. That's why I got started. That's how I got started. Just my journey in music.
All right, we're going to pause you right there for a minute, and we're going to go to a musical break, and we're going to play the next hit from World Band. I hope you guys like it, and we'll be right back with Sal Rodriguez, our guest today, the drummer from War.
You're listening to Business This Week on Radio Zolin, KROJ 101.5 FM.
Every time I hear that song, I can't help but to think of the movies of Lethal Weapon and so many others that they were featured on. This is a very, very popular song in film, and I'm sure you guys heard it before in one or two movies. Anyhow, we're back, And we're proud today to have on the line Saul Rodriguez, the drummer for War the Band, who is doing an exclusive interview for us today. He's been kind enough to, you know, hang out with us today and do this interview. So on to the next question. Saul, tell us, who are some of the people that help you reach the top? Who are some of the people that help you be where you are today?
Well, back then, you know, we didn't, you know, my father played a little bit in a conjunto band. He played drums. Self-taught with my Nino. We had a little group, and I used to go along when I was real small, like 6-7 years old. And I remember just watching people, you know, dance and having fun and just laughing and, you know, going through all that stuff and just enjoying themselves. And I go, man. And I was watching my uncle, my aunt, my uncle, my godfather, he played guitar, singing. I go, wow, that's really cool. I'm watching them play, and I'm going like, that inspired me to play, to start off, because, you know, there was no such thing as for us, and especially in living in San Fernando, and, you know, back in the 60s, we didn't have the money. My dad didn't have that resources to even think about giving me lessons and stuff like that, you know. They were too busy with construction. But coming back with the influences, I mean, my uncle was a big part of it too, my uncle Pico, and he's a multi-talented musician, play drums, trumpet, guitar, you know, bass, and when I saw him play that little drum roll in my living room, my dad had the drum set up, I said, wow, I want to do that. That's cool. I like that, you know. So he inspired me a lot, and he would take me to some of the rehearsals when I was like 11 years old, 12 years old. And he had a group playing around town, so he would take me to the rehearsals, and I would watch him and watch how the camaraderie with the musicians learning songs and stuff like that. So eventually, as you go along in your music journey, you start hanging around. I was always hanging around with older guys because, you know, I was always the youngest guy. I was already playing like dances and all that stuff, and when I was 14, 15 years old, these guys had cars already, and they were, I wasn't old enough to drive, have a driver's license, so somebody always had to bring me home, take me to rehearsals. My dad would take me to rehearsals because he'd come home with construction, and, you know, too tired. He's like, so I had to find my own way, but being around older musicians and getting advice from them too, and watching them how they handle, you know, the music and the pressures of being a band leader, and but also, I think Little Joe from Texas. When I graduated high school, I was my first. Yes, I was in his band for 3 years. I was playing at a little club here, and I was still freshly, I think I was still in high school in the 12th grade, and I was playing 3 nights a week at this little place called Acapulco right on San Fernando Boulevard, and it's a Smart and Final now, so if anybody's familiar with that little area on Van Nuys and between I think Tarabella and Van Nuys Boulevard on San Fernando Road, there's a Smart and Final there. Well, that back in the 70s used to be a restaurant called the Acapulco. And they used to have like dances there, and it was a nightclub dance, you know, dance nightclub, so to speak. And, you know, I was there, and since there was a restaurant there, underage, you know, I was performing. I was in a band, so I was 18 years old. But Little Joe was in town, and he was looking for a drummer. And some of the guys in the band told him about me, so he came down to hear me play, and then he offered me the job. I was 18 years old, and that was like my first break, like traveling away from home, getting on a plane. And these guys were already in their 30s, and they called me the kid, you know, the kid. And I'm going like, and I always watched them, how they had, because, you know, they already had kids, they already had, you know, they're married, and the pressures away from home, and how they handle business. Some of them make it, some of them don't. But that was my first break with Little Don La Familia, if you're not familiar who he is. He's a Tex-Mex a legend. You know, he's still around. I think he's probably 80 years old now, but he's still around. He's got Grammys out. He's got, you know, over 100 albums out in his career. So I call him the godfather of Tex-Mex music, you know. And I call him my godfather because when he moved back to Texas, he called me to come and play drums with him in Texas. And I was just graduated from high school. And he paid for my airfare to get down there. And I says, well, where am I going to live? And he goes, well, you can stay with me. In my house, you know, he was married, had two little kids, and I stayed in his den. He had a little couch there. So I thought that was, to me, it was like, wow, what an interesting journey, you know, that I'm playing now for a whole different crowd, a different audience. The Tejano music is totally different from the Mexican music here. Even if it's Norteño music, Conjunto music, it's different. It's a different style. So I learned a lot about just performing, you know, because there's one thing I will never forget about Little Joe, that one time we were in Corpus Christi, and there was a blizzard, right? And we were playing at the Coliseum, you know. Now, this is thousands of people in the Coliseum. So there must have been about 100 people. The promoter, I remember him coming to the hotel, and telling Little Joe, says, Joe, says, what do you want to do? He says, you know, there's only like 100 people that bought tickets. He goes, you want to cancel? And he says, no. He said, those people pay to be entertained, and I'm going to give them their money's worth. And sure enough, we went in there. It was a snowstorm. 100 people showed up, and he played like that thing was packed. And he gave them extra, you know, for showing up. And I will never forget that. So doesn't matter the size of the audience, man. Even if you have one person, you give it your all, man. I learned a lot from him, you know, about entertainment, because there's a lot of musicians, too, that'll get, you know, they get upset or something, and they get, you know, they get bummed out because it was a low turnout. They didn't get this or blah, blah, blah. You know, hey, well, whoever was there, give them their money's worth, no matter what it is. Because I've been in that situation, too, with my band in certain places, nightclubs. And one day it's great. The next night is like, you know, half the people. It's like, then your head starts playing mind games. You know, it's like, man, am I losing it? Or what's going on? Or, you know, but you have to learn how to balance that and just understand that you are an entertainer, and there's really a lot of ups and downs in the music business, and you have to keep your head straight, and you know, and that's just it, man. You have to balance it out. But coming back to that question again, he was a big inspiration for me, Little Joe and La Familia. You know, that's the name of the group. You know, we got to do a lot of great venues and flying back and forth and traveling and being a young kid. And then you, the talk of the town, because we stayed in Temple, Texas. That's where he's from. That's a small town. So the word gets out quick. This new kid in town playing drums from California, you know. But that was great. I love that experience. I will never forget that. And I owe him a lot for taking me under his wing and believing in me, because I had a different style than the Tejano style. A lot of Tejanos in his band, half of them were like, nah, he doesn't have a Texas feel. He doesn't want. But I brought something to the table that Joe saw, and he gave me that opportunity. Now there's players in Texas that, you know, you're going like, wow, man, they incorporate everything now, funk, you know, reggae, and the Tejano music. So it's not just your typical Tejano music. They incorporate everything, rap, and I mean, just really blossom. But Joe saw something in me, so that I gave him a lot of credit for helping me, you know, launch off my career in the music world, you know. So that's a good inspiration for me.
Wow. Who would ever thought there would be no Sal Rodriguez without Little Joe and La Familia? We're going to take another quick break, and we're going to listen to probably my favorite song from War of the Band, which is Summer. Just before the summer is over, we got to listen to this song. It has an amazing sound, and I think it's one of my favorite songs, and I hope it's yours too. So without further ado, Summer by War of the Band.
You're listening to Business This Week on Radio Zolin. KROJ 101.5 FM.
My time.
Hey, and we're back. I hope you guys like that song. I definitely have it among my top 5 songs that I like from War, definitely. Anyhow, we're back, and we have today on the line Sal Rodriguez, who's our guest today. Sal Rodriguez is the drummer for War Band, and we were just talking about the career, his career, how his career started, but also the career of some of the people that helped him out. In this case, he was Little Joe and La Familia.
Of course.
He's the one who helped Sal Rodriguez launched his career. Mm-hmm. He, as far as I understand, Little Joe has been around since the 1960s, I believe. And there would be no Sal Rodriguez without Little Joe and La Familia. It's quite interesting mm-hmm. to find that out. So anyhow, I think that mm-hmm. we gotta really never forget about the people who inspire us, about the people who helped us out, you know, and always keep him in mind, and whatever we can, give him a hand.
Oh, yeah, man. He's been doing it since the 60s. His first band was like Little Joe and the Latineers, man, back in the 60s, you know. And, his career is amazing. But he's still out there, you know, unfortunately, now with the COVID thing, you know. And I understand he had COVID, too, so I hope he's better now, you know. But, yeah, so, and, you know, those groups like that, like Latin Breed, all those Tex-Mex groups, you know, Latin Breed and Sun in the Sunliners, and us, we would do shows with them, and also later on was a group, La Mafia, you know, and these kind of groups in the 90s, you know, they were just exploding and stuff, and they're still out there, man, they're still, you know, is still plowing the field, man. You know, some of these artists, man, that have it in their blood, and they just do it until they drop, you know, like, and their health goes wrong. Just like Duke Ellington and Cap Calloway and these guys from New York, man, there was no retirement for them. They played till the God called them home, you know what I mean?
Well, a lot of times people don't understand the road is tough. You know, it's not that simple. It's not that easy. It seems like it's easy because it's glamorous that you get to go to some of these concerts and you get to have the crowds and the fame and all of that, but right. It's not easy.
And when you get to a certain age, too, man, you know, sometimes this road is tough, man. People think it's easy because they just see us up there. That's when, you know, when the lights are on and you're having fun for 90 minutes. And they think the rest of your life is like that. When you go home, it's like that. No, it's not. You know what I mean? You got the pressures at home. You got the bills piling up. You got the dog that chew the vacuum cleaner. You got, you know, you got all kinds of stuff happening, man. The taxes, this, that, school, you know, tuitions and, you know, the pressures at home, too. So you have to learn how to balance that. You know, it's definitely the road work is not for everybody because you got to be on a plane, you got to do, you know, you got to switch time zones, and then you don't get enough sleep on the plane. You get to the hotel, you check in, you might rest for a couple hours, go do the sound check, come back, get ready, go do the show. By the time you come home, you have to get up early enough again to get the next flight out, you know, and repeat the whole thing again, you know. So you talk about 3 or 4 weeks of that every day, you know, it takes a toll on the body too. And sometimes, you know, in that situation too, I mean, you know, there's also the, you know, the little perks that go along with it. You know, you start, you know, the drinking and all that stuff. We'll get into that later. But, you know, it becomes a way of life, you know. You know, it's not for everybody. The road life is not for everybody, but, you know, it's those diehard musicians like Duke Ellington and, you know, all those great musicians from back in the days too, you know, Buddy Rich and, you know, all kinds of old timers, man. And Tony Bennett is still out there, man. He's 90 years old, you know. And, I got the pleasure of backing him up too, because I was in the Duke Ellington Orchestra in the 90s, early 90s. And we would do shows with, we would back up these artists, you know. And to me, it was like, wow, you know, what a gentleman. And like an honor to be in the presence of such greatness, you know. And, it's a beautiful thing too, you know what I mean? Because if you're doing something you love doing, it doesn't become a job, you know.
Tony Bennett? Did you ever had a chance to meet Tony Bennett?
Yeah, I got the pleasure of backing him up too, because I was in the Duke Ellington Orchestra in the 90s, early 90s, and we would do shows with, we would back up these artists, you know. And to me, it was like, wow, you know, what a gentleman, and like an honor to be in the presence of such greatness, you know. And it's a beautiful thing too, you know what I mean? Because if you're doing something you love doing, it doesn't become a job, you know. It doesn't feel like a job.
And what would be your advice to the new people, the people who are just getting started, who just started their career, and they want to get into the music industry? What would be your advice?
What happens to the, you know, to the younger aspiring musicians that start out? You know, people forget. You know, like in my journey, I played so many freebies, so many rehearsals, so many going over here rehearsing this, practicing this. I mean, countless and countless of hours dragging your drums around, you know, not even getting paid, setting up, you know, playing because you had an audience. Back when I was in high school, we had bands, and I'm going like, hey, there's a party over here. They need a band. All right, let's go. We didn't think about, you know, I mean, how much are we going to get paid? There's an audience. We're playing for people, you know, our peers, so we get to play our favorite music, you know, all this great music, and let them enjoying and critique it and say, man, you guys sounded great, man, you know. And now we became like the local celebrities when we were still in high school, because we're actually out there playing music in band, you know. But it's not for everybody, man. It's because when you get into it for the wrong reasons, like, oh, I want to make money off this thing. I want to live up in Beverly Hills. I want to live next to Snoop Dogg. I want to, you know, I hear that and I'm going like, okay, so what happens if it doesn't happen? Because it's like you're winning the lottery, man. It's just so many musicians out there that are struggling, especially now. You know, all of us, you know, we're out there now. I mean, we had a lot of shows coming up with Santana, with Twin Fire. I mean, just already booked and nothing. I mean, nobody's working, Santana. Nobody's out there. So, you know, and it's taking a tremendous toll on the entertainment and the sports world. I mean, we're the last ones to be lifted from this, you know, from the list. So there's a lot of struggling musicians, especially right now, entertainers, you know, and marketing directors and, you know, promoters. And it's affected so many of us. We're not the essential, you know, part of the spectrum. So, well, I'm learning how to adapt to it right now. You know, it's been 6 months since Wars had anything. You know, I do work with that group, and the last 30 years. But I've toured many, many, many places and countries and stuff, and seen a lot and learned a lot from different cultures. But right now, everybody's on hold, man. You know, we're just waiting for that lift, and hopefully that they'll soon find some solution to this madness, and we'll get back on track. Because, man, I'm learning how to do all kinds of things now, man. I'm learning how to build this, that, a lot of yard work and painting and keeping busy. But I'm enjoying it, though. You know, I'm not in a downward state of mind. You know what I mean? I'm not depressed. I'm not this. I'm not that. Because I'm not the only one, but if we learn how to stay positive and be productive and be a contribution to your home, and it starts home first and to your community, then that's what's going to lift you and carry you through this crazy times, you know. It's very, very difficult for so many people. But for musicians as myself, too, I mean, you know, this unemployment thing, that's like, you know, I mean, I'm very grateful, but I'm not used to that. You know, I'm used to go out there earning my money and, you know, just living that. What will we do? You know, we play music, go travel, entertain, and come home and balance it out. But I even forgot what the question was. I think I got so tied up in my story that, but I think the inspiration.
Don't worry, sir. I think we all been there. We all done that once in a while. We lose track because there's so many stories to tell. And we must never ever forget our roots. We must never forget to help others and to remember to be grateful for the things that we got, for what we have. You know, a lot of times we forget because we get trapped in the materialistic stuff. And we forget that our simple things that matter, you know, the love of a family, a mother, you know, simple things, food, water. You know, we need to remember that other people have it a lot more difficult than we do. And we need to appreciate each and every single one of the things that we were blessed with.
Right, and you know, we also remember, like, really quick, that, you know, we have to, you know, take inventory and say, like, man, there's so many people that are a lot worse off that are on the hospital fighting for their lives, or the people, some people lost more than one member in their household because of this COVID-19, you know. And, you know, just I'm so thankful that nobody in my household has, you know, experienced anything like that, so... Just the little things, man. Just be grateful that, you know, that it hasn't hit your home. Just be thankful and grateful and pray for those who have, you know, or how you can be inspiration to them. Just calling them up, you know, if they can talk, or just people at random that you think about, you know, that you haven't talked to in a long time. And just check up on them, see how they're doing. You'd be surprised how that one little phone call can change their whole day or maybe their whole week, you know. Somebody passed from the past, or just out of the blue. Just I've been calling people up too, say like, "Hey Sal, I'm just calling to see how you're doing. You know, hey, I haven't talked to you in a long time." And so, wow, man, that's a great surprise, you know. And I just leave it at that, you know. Just plant something positive and just say, "Hey man, I've been thinking about you. Hope everything's fine." And you know, God bless you. And call me anytime, you know. Keep it simple. And you'd be surprised how that little phone call can make a huge difference in somebody's day. They might have a terrible day. That's happened to me, where I called somebody and said, "Man, I was really down today. I was really in a depressed mode. You called me, you cheered me up. You know, I'm not tooting my horn here, but you know, this is what I do. I don't really, you know, post it on anything, but I love doing that. You know, even when I'm driving, I'll think of somebody. I'll call somebody when I have a little drive." And I got my earbuds on, so I'm not, you know. But other than that, you know, that's what I do. But I guess so. I guess there's another question that's coming about, and you know, I think I get off track too sometimes. My apologies for that.
Thank you so much, sir. I think that is great advice that we all can never get off. And we all need to check on somebody that we love. We need to make a phone call and see how they're doing. All right, sir. And the last question that I got for you is, who would be one artist that you would like to play with? Of course, you already played pretty much with everybody. So I don't know if there's even anybody that you would like to play with.
Well, there is. I mean, would love to be. I mean, we share the same stage with Santana, and he'll bring us up to play, you know, like a song with him or something like that, but to actually tour with him and being in a band and making records, I think that'll be a highlight that I would love, you know, something like that to happen. And, you know, that's just one of them, and there's quite a few of them I wouldn't want, you know, keep going, but that'd be cool. I think that'd be great. And we did have some shows coming up with him, you know, he has his wife playing drums now, so I think that opportunity is way long. She's a fantastic Cindy Blackman. She's an incredible drummer, and she sounds fantastic. And, you know that, but you know, we get to share the same stage, so that's just one artist, you know, that I think that'd be so cool to be in his band and stuff like that, you know. But okay, well, thanks for that question. Now, I think you have a couple more.
Well, unfortunately, we are running out of time. So this is the moment where I ask you to just to say any last words you would like to say to our audience that are listening, if there's anything you would like them to hear.
Well, I just want to say, well, first of all, thank you, Saul Mejia, for being there. I mean, an unsung hero, man. Here you are. You know, people don't understand how much passion you have for doing what you do, you know, because you're like an unsung hero that, you know, that should be more recognized in that field. And I admire you for what you do. And trust me, I mean, it's to have a passion, you understand what it is to have a passion, because, you know, we're not living up in Beverly Hills up there next to the mansion in the sky, you know, but we're kind of rich in our what we do, you know, in the passion of the joy that brings us joy, because what we love to do. And first of all, I just want to say thank you, Saul, for everything, and including me in your calendar with your Christmas things and outreaches and stuff. So, and for everybody too that's out there, you know, that loves music and loves getting back to the community, get more involved, even if it's Zoom meetings or helping somebody out that's in need, you know. And if you have a passion for a career or a business, you know, get under somebody's wing so you can learn from them, you know, because when we try to do everything on our own, we pick up a lot of mistakes. So we learn from the people that made those mistakes, and they tell us and they teach us, don't do what I did here. You know, the same thing I'm telling for the youngsters. You know, I didn't finish my college career because I went touring. I had a choice. Okay, I'm going to tour, or I'm going to stay in college. If I miss the tour, I might not even be able to tour. But I did a couple years in college where I learned my basic stuff, you know, my theory, music theory, big band, and all that stuff. But I never finished. And I'm like, I go, man, I should have, you know, should have, would have, who knows. But for the youngsters that do have the time to pursue education, that's so highly recommended. Educate yourself, no matter what you do. If it's not the music business, if it's real estate, if it's accounting, or whatever it is that you're going to, you know, pursue a career under, make sure you understand, you know, the business part of it, you know, how to finance your money, how to do this, how to incorporate myself with positive people, positive thinking, you know, how to invest my time wisely. All that goes hand in hand, you know. So I encourage all the youngsters to go to school, you know, get your degree in what your passion is. And you'd be surprised that you can't take those times back. You know, you can only do that while you're young. Because when you get older and here, you don't have that drive that you used to when you're youngsters. You know what I mean? You don't have, you know, back, you don't have a family. You don't, I mean, I'm saying the kids and the wife and stuff, and you're still living with your mom and dad. Take advantage of the school, man. Stay in there, you know, graduate, make your parents proud of you, you know, and then at the end, so you can know that how you're going to get back and give back to the youngsters when you get to a certain age in life. So just that positive role, keep turning it around. You know, it's just you recycling positive energies and planting seeds and watering seeds and knowing that God is the one that gives the increase. So, you know, stay plugged in, stay connected. Thank you, Saul, for all that you do and having me be a part of this program. And thank you. Don't hesitate to call me again. You know, I'm always here for you. And, you know, and until next time. And God bless you, everybody. And be safe out there with this COVID-19. You know, stay your distance, wash your hands, wear your mask, and just follow protocol. But I love you all. Thank you for letting me share. God bless you, Saul, too. Thank you so much.
No. On the contrary, thank you. Thank you so much, Saul Rodriguez. I truly appreciate everything that you do. I know that you're one of the heroes in our community. A lot of people don't know, but Saul Rodriguez dedicates a lot of his free time to helping people recover from alcoholism. He attends every single year the Christmas parade. He also attends our Christmas concert in Panorama City to sign autographs and to make people happy. I truly appreciate everything that you do. He actually has met in private with a couple of my friends. They wanted to meet him. You know, he's always available, and anytime he's got some time, he will use it to help somebody. Just like he said, even if he's on the freeway, he'll make a phone call and try to make somebody's day. So truly, thank you so much for everything that you do. May God bless you now and always. So with that, we just want to say thank you, Sal Rodriguez, for this interview. We look forward to seeing you in the near future. And with that, we'll go to the next song. Take care, and we hope to see you soon.
Okay. All right.
You're listening to Business This Week on Radio Zolin, KROJ 101.5 FM. Listening to Business This Week on Radio Zolin, KROJ 101.5 FM.
Down to rest in a big field of tall grass. I lay there in the sun and felt it caressing my face as I fell asleep and dreamed. I dreamed I was in a Hollywood movie and that I was the star of the movie. This really blew my mind. The fact that me, an overfed, long-haired, leaping gnome, should be the star of a Hollywood movie. But there I was. I was taken to a place, the Hall of the Mountain King. I stood high upon a mountaintop, naked to the world, in front of every kind of girl. There was long ones, tall ones, short ones, brown ones, black ones, round ones, big ones, crazy ones. Whispered in my ear something crazy. She said, am I going crazy? Or is this just a dream? Now wait a minute, I know I'm lying in a field of grass somewhere. So it's all in my head. And then I heard her say one more time. Hot flames of fire roaring at my back. As she disappeared, but soon she returned. In her hand was a bottle of wine, in the other a glass. She poured some of the wine from the bottle into the glass, raised it to her lips, and just before she drank it, she said, take the wine.